When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh here with you on a Thursday night. It is Game Time Decisions live on Sports Grid with plenty to break down here on this Thursday. We have just one NBA playoff game tonight in Minnesota. The Timberwolves look to avoid a fourth consecutive loss to the Denver Nuggets and win what would be their first game of this series on their home floor. We have a WNBA game tonight featuring superstar Caitlin Clark as she makes her home debut against the New York Liberty. Two games on the ice. The Rangers trying to close out Carolina on the road. Edmonton and Vancouver tied at two apiece. Pivotal game, obviously, there back in Vancouver. Baseball board has already seen some action earlier with the New York Yankees completing a sweep of the Minnesota Twins. We have still five more games to go. And let's get right to that quickly here with a quick pick for the people. The three-game streak of the MLB Play of the Day looking like cash was snapped, perhaps, because I wasn't here in the mix with you on Game Time Decision. So let's hope that spins back around with an under in H-Town. Astros A's under the nine here with Christian Javier and Joey Estes on the mound. Joey Estes, a prospect for Oakland, looked great in his opening start. Yes, it was just five innings, but two-hit baseball, no walks, and perhaps the books here not appropriately pricing Estes. Another reason, though, for this number is Christian Javier. It's a slow start for him, but he's been excellent in Houston and still, I think, a very quality pitcher. So if both of these guys can step up tonight, this game can go well under the listed total of nine, which we have seen already now happen in two consecutive in this series between Astros and Athletics. Under the nine, minus 110, your MLB play of the day. We will also hit the PGA Championship course record. Xander Schauffele with a nine under in his opening round is currently the favorite and, of course, the clubhouse leader. We'll talk to Brady Cannon a little bit later on in this show. But let's get to the hoops tonight. Let's get to Minnesota and Denver. I have not placed a bet just yet on the Minnesota Timberwolves, though I am very tempted to do so. Minus 130 is their money line price. 2.5 currently is their spread price here. And the Minnesota Timberwolves now find themselves with their backs against the wall. The Minnesota Timberwolves blowing a 2-0 lead is heavily favored now. When you take a look at the series price, their best case scenario, having to go back to altitude for a game seven. I discussed again countless times here that Minnesota being this certainty for people after the 2-0 lead was very dangerous, a bit misguided. People tossing aside everything that Denver had done over the last year. When you look at the title run and you look at this regular season. But these are also how these things go. Not only did I warn about Denver being able to bounce back, but when they did, people buying in too much. The Denver Nuggets winning all three in Minnesota? That's a huge ask. That is a huge ask for this team. And it suggests that the Timberwolves 2-0 lead was fraudulent. And I think that this Minnesota team has more juice than that. But I haven't played this minus 130 yet. What does that say about me? Perhaps it suggests I'm giving the champs a lot of respect here. Perhaps I'm someone who is still quite frustrated that I never pulled the trigger on those big Denver prices, 7-1 to win the West, and better than 4-1 to win this series, 17-1 to win it in six games, which is the scenario that's on the board here tonight against the Timberwolves. What I do have are two player props here, and one on Anthony Edwards, but on the defensive side of the basketball. Anthony Edwards over 1.5 steals plus blocks. This is at minus 166. And I know that type of juice is usually out of the range for your day-to-day better. If you really must make this a plus money situation, a little simple SGP of 2+ steals for Anthony Edwards and 1 block is fine by me. But that would be 3 steals plus blocks. And while I think Ant has a good chance to make that happen tonight, I feel incredibly confident he gets us 2 steals plus blocks, and a lot more confident than that minus 166. I think this should be above minus 200 right now. Ant in the postseason is so far 7-2 against this number. But more importantly is what we saw from Anthony Edwards last game have his worst performance overall in the two categories combined. Anthony Edwards did not have a block last game. Anthony Edwards has not had consecutive games this postseason without a block. Anthony Edwards did not have 2 steals last game. He has not had consecutive games this postseason without 2 steals. So you're double bounce back in both individual categories. If I was playing the 1.5 steals, I'm playing it over. If I'm playing the half a block, I'm playing it over. So I bring them together at minus 166, and I feel great about Anthony Edwards getting through this number. Again, if you want to play the straight steals, you want to play the straight block, the trends apply. But minus 166 juice is not enough to scare me off Anthony Edwards getting the job done defensively here tonight against the Denver Nuggets. One guy who will get the job done a bit offensively should be Michael Porter Jr. I mean, sound the alarms with the level of bounce back spot we have here for MPJ. Back-to-back single-digit scoring efforts for Michael Porter Jr., who got off this postseason to a phenomenal start, averaging nearly 20 points per game through his first 8 games of these playoffs here. If you go back to the regular season, Michael Porter Jr. had 2 straight games without hitting 10 points, just twice. The follow-up games, 20-plus points in each of them, 4-plus made threes in those games as well. We had 14 regular season games from Michael Porter Jr. where he did not score double digits. Just 14, and that's just straight up. In those 14 games, he was 10-4 with the follow-up game giving us over 13.5 points. And in half of those follow-up games, he hit 20. You're getting just under 4-1 tonight for Michael Porter Jr. if you would like to climb the ladder on his points prop here on the road in this spot going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Again, for the game, I look towards Minnesota. I've not played it yet. Perhaps that changes before we leave here tonight on Game Time Decisions. The other big basketball game is in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark's home debut against the New York Liberty. And if you take a look at this line, the Liberty are getting a lot of respect, and it's not respect that I personally agree with, as I am unimpressed by this Liberty team. I am worried about this Liberty team as they head into this season here. They were blown out by 48 points in a preseason game against the Chicago Sky. And I am sure for some people, a preseason blowout does not matter. For me, it does. A team that lost last year in the finals, who wants to be taken serious, wants to get over a Las Vegas Aces team that's won 2 titles in a row, favored to win a third, needs to show up ready to rock. And that was alarming what we saw in the preseason, and it carried over to game one with the Mystics up nearly double digits at the break and easily covering an 11 on opening night. But I'm not going to worry about this spread here, nor this total, nor props on Breonna Stewart or Sabrina Ionescu. No. We go straight to the star herself. That is Caitlin Clark. 4-plus rebounds, plus 120. Let's go a little bit higher as well. 6-plus boards for Clark at plus 430. Caitlin Clark, go back to the collegiate game. 7 rebounds per game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Her career. She is supposed to be able to get triple-doubles. Why are the rebound numbers so low? Take a look at the preseason action. Game 1, 28 minutes, 3 boards. Game 2, 32 minutes, 8 rebounds. She had 0 in her debut against the Sun. It provides a buy-low spot here for Caitlin Clark to crash the glass at home, not going up against as tough of a matchup as is Alyssa Thomas. We'll hit the rest of the NBA odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions live right here on a Thursday night. Let's reset the deck with your prices in the NBA playoffs. We'll start in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics are nearly minus 1,000 to win the East. Minus 950, Knicks 8-1. The expectation is the Knicks will advance against the Pacers, though they're supposed to lose game number 6 to the Pacers. That Pacers 24-1 is just a touch tempting, if only because you know you would get value if they get through the New York Knicks. It's hard to justify, though, because you'd still get a huge price for the Pacers if they advance through. I will say, as I saw this number today on Boston, there was a part of me that groaned a little bit. Leap day, it's easy for me to remember. He's going to come in here and place a future on the Celtics at the time, plus 110 to win the Eastern Conference, and I decided not to do it. And it's sometimes hard to trust this Celtics team. And here we are, back in the conference finals. And whenever the Celtics are a top seed, they do make the conference finals in the East. But as we sit here in this minus 950 number, while it feels justified, does it feel earned? And for the Celtics, it doesn't matter, but they got through Miami, no Jimmy Butler. We entered that series being like, oh, come on. And that's exactly what it was. The series against the Cavs, I felt Cleveland could hang a bit. They won a game in Boston, dominant fashion, in fact. Then they lost Donovan Mitchell for the last two. The Cavs were already without Jared Allen. Heck, Caris LeVert missed that final game in Boston as well. And Cleveland hung in the final two games of the series. So for the Celtics, as I sit here, and yeah, of course, I wish I had the plus 110, but you can't see a path opening up for a team that was already 14 games better than the next best record in the conference. As easy as it has for Boston, we're here with a minus 950 number. Most people believe their first true test will come against the West. Well, when we look to Western Conference prices, the favorites are the Denver Nuggets. And the Nuggets are the team that all year long Celtics fans have openly acknowledged as a one that they don't think they can beat. it'll probably end up pushing me onto the Celtics if we do get a Boston-Denver finals. But we have now a Dallas Mavericks plus 230 number. As somebody sitting on their 16-1 preseason price, I'm pleased with where things are. And if we do get those top two teams to match up in Dallas and Denver, one number I want people to keep their eye out for is Kyrie Irving points per game in the series. I'm hoping the books will post it. I think they will. Kyrie Irving is averaging under 15 points per game against the Thunder. It speaks volumes to just how good Dallas is. Kyrie's been contributing in other ways, especially the assist category, and the fact that Oklahoma City has really struggled to score on this Dallas defense. But if we do get Denver and Dallas in the Western Conference Finals, the Mavericks are going to need more from Kyrie in a scoring fashion, and I think he will be ready to give it to them. So just something to keep your eye out for. Title odds right now, Boston minus 150. Understandable. They will have home court advantage no matter who they play if they are in the finals. And when you look at their expected price to be in the finals, again, we just showed you minus 950, it's hard to knock it. I do think if you're interested in buying low on someone in that Western Conference, it does get a little bit interesting to play the Thunder at 25-1, right? Who would have home court advantage, by the way, in the conference finals, as opposed to playing them for 7-1 to win the Western Conference. One team you cannot play is the Cleveland Cavaliers, eliminated again last night by the Boston Celtics. And that then brings all of these questions around Donovan Mitchell. And these are fair questions, because we do not know if Donovan is going to sign the extension to stay in Cleveland. The reporting fallout from their elimination was not just about whether Donovan Mitchell would stay, but whether J.B. Bickerstaff will be fired out of Cleveland, and if Darius Garland would be interested in staying, with or without Donovan Mitchell. Could this team move off of Jared Allen? All of a sudden, we're talking about a coach and three stars all being moved for Cleveland. It gets very interesting. But the big thing is Donovan Mitchell's decision. Some landing spots that have already been listed by Brian Windhorst of ESPN: the Lakers, the Nets, the Heat, and the Rockets. All interesting to varying degrees. The Lakers, possibly the most interesting, because Donovan would be competing for a championship on day one alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And when LeBron does ultimately leave this game, Donovan Mitchell has the chance to be the face of the Lakers when he does, which is a huge spot to be in. I do think Donovan would actually end up the face of the Lakers over AD. You could debate that if you'd like, but it still would be a great spot for Mitchell to be in. If he goes to the Brooklyn Nets, he gets to keep it local. We know he's had interest in playing for the New York Knicks. That seems almost impossible with the Brunson full-on breakout that he's had this postseason. But Mitchell and Bridges, of course, would end up being a top five duo in the Eastern Conference. Playoffs would be the expectations. And if playing in New York is a priority for Mitchell, this certainly could answer the bell. The Miami Heat, we know, want another star. Is that to pair with Jimmy and Bam, or just Bam? I guess time will tell. Donovan Mitchell feels like he would fit the billing, although I just have to throw it out there. Does anybody have any interest in a three-team deal that would get Donovan Mitchell over to Milwaukee and Damian Lillard to Miami? I know that that probably doesn't make much sense for Miami because Mitchell's the better player, but I just wonder what the assets look like there. And I don't know. Again, Cleveland probably wouldn't want to put Donovan Mitchell within their own division, but ultimately, what's the best package going to be for Cleveland? That is going to be a big part of this. I think they're going to be willing to deal Donovan. I don't think it's going to be a singular spot that he lands. I could be wrong here. Maybe he's going to be able to narrow this list down to Lakers, Nets, or no one. But if it's open season, well, then the Rockets really could get interesting here. They have the third pick in this upcoming draft. Jalen Green upped his value massively over the final 2 months of the season. Houston has future picks and other young guys on the roster. It just doesn't make as much sense for Houston to rush things unless Ime Udoka is putting a ton of pressure on that front office, which he probably is certainly something for us to watch and certainly something we will cover. We'll go to the PGA Championship, the hockey and the baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, game time decisions. A busy night here, no doubt about it, with a big NBA playoff game, the WNBA home debut for Caitlin Clark, two games on the ice baseball. But let me just quickly hit this PGA Tour championship action here, or PGA championship action, excuse me. I made the coward's decision today, if you will. It won't be popular, but I do hope it'll be profitable. And I use some profit boosts to make this more worth it. I today, after Scotty, he was four in, he was two under at the time. I know he eagled, of course, on one. I played Xander and Scheffler. I know that for a lot of people and how they like to bet golf, that will not move them even slightly. That is the most boring thing you can possibly do. And maybe it's not the smartest thing you can do. I've heard it all with Xander, right? He can't close. But we all agree Xander Schauffele is a really, really, really good golfer. At some point, he's going to break through. He just hit a course record here, right? And is three up on Finau and Fagala, four up on Rory McIlroy and Rob McIntyre. So Xander, I don't want to say it's now or never, but man, does it feel like it could be now. But the thing is, at the time, right, a lot of these other guys were final. Scottie Scheffler was not. And again, Scheffler was on pace to shoot a 36? He was 200 through one. But you could tell that Scotty had a chance to go low. And the way they priced Scotty, it didn't hurt to jump in at the time. Right now, Scheffler is 4 under through 13, and he sits plus 280. Again, I was betting the golf a little bit differently, but I felt for me, it's I really wanted to just bet Xander, but Scheffler has been so horrifying. And due to the nature of all these boosts that you'll get around major championship time, I played them both. And those boosts typically refresh day to day. I'll probably take them both, one here, one there, and go through it like that. That's where I'm at now. We shall see, though, and we will talk to Brady Cannon in an hour right here on Sports Grid and get his thoughts as we will have then finished out the first day here at the PGA Championship. Baseball-wise, I said it, play of the day. It's Astros Athletics under the nine, Javier Estes for me. I am also going to play a little Cubs money line. Look, this is an interesting spot, man. But the number here on the Cubs feels really, really nice. Minus 122 you can find right now on Steele against Jones. So we saw Steele as a road favorite against Skeens just a week ago. Lit up in the game. You could tell me Skeens is better than Jones. I don't think, or Jones is better than Skeens right now. I don't know if the books are pricing it that way. I don't. I think with the amount of attraction that Paul Skeens got in the debut, maybe big bets came in. Maybe the big bets came all the way in on Chicago. But again, Steele closed as a road favorite, and now we flip it back here at home. I'm getting minus 122. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm not giving Jones all the credit in the world. I consider this play of the day style. I bounced back, but I did have to grab a piece of the Cubbies here against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Walker Quintana here, Alec Boehm props if you're interested. We've got Red Sox Rays as a pure pick. And then late night, Glasnow gets the ball at minus 310 up against the Cincinnati Reds. Total in that baseball game is 7.5. On the ice tonight, Canes Rangers. I'm interested in playing the Rangers here, but maybe you take it to the props market. Panarin get involved here? Can the bread man close the door for the New York Rangers? This is a team right now, a 5.5 listed total. A minus 166 money line here for Carolina in game six at home. They've won two in a row. A lot of people are very confident that this thing will just shift on back to New York. I'm less confident. Late night, Edmonton, Vancouver. That 6.5 is getting bet to the under. Minus 130 now we're seeing here. Minus 145 road favorite on the Edmonton Oilers. Tough game. Feels like a dog's night, though. A little bit in the ice. It does. We'll talk to Joe Maddon at the top of the hour and get her thoughts, though, on the ice here. And I'm sure she'll have some props loaded up for us with Rangers, Canes, and then Oilers, Canucks. We're going to be talking to Coach James Young in just a couple of moments here. And again, we have to reset and re-rack the NBA, where your conference markets sit, and also talk some WNBA. Because Caitlin Clark was not the only rookie who's made her debut, and there was one performance that stood out to me and provided a lot of optimism with what I saw. We will get to that after this quick break live with you. I'm Kevin Walsh on Game Time Decisions. Coach James Young is up next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions live on a Thursday night. Coach James Young is here. JY, happy to have you. I want to talk a little WNBA with you here. And we're going to get to Fever Liberty in just a moment. But Angel Reese made her debut for the Chicago Sky, and Cameron Brink made her debut for the LA Sparks. For me, the Angel Reese performance was one that put a lot of confidence in a plus 600 ticket that I have on her to average 15 a game. It's a long season. It was one game, but 12 points on 5 of 14 from the field and 2 of 8 from the line in just 26 minutes, there's a lot of growth there potentially on the table for Reese. Even just the free throw line, a 70% career free throw shooter at the collegiate level. I really do believe that Angel Reese, even as an outside shot at leading the Chicago Sky in scoring, I'm curious, Coach, what you've made of the rookies' non-Clark division and the debuts that we saw over the past few days.
Well, Caleb, we've seen struggles, and I think one thing people need to understand when you talk about the WNBA folks is it's completely different than the NBA, right? The season ended at the same time, obviously, in college basketball, but you're talking about, like, Final Four, Sunday night, draft, Tuesday night, and then you're moving on. So to me, what you're going to see is you're going to see kids struggle early on. Why? Even Aaliyah Boston talked about it last year, Caleb. The speed of the game. Everything is just so much quicker, and you don't get a lot of time to get ready. There's no, like, WNBA summer league or anything to kind of get them acclimated to better basketball. And I think people are a little naive, in fact, to think that these girls just can go in and dominate. Now, Angel Reese, because of the fact that, one, I love the fact that they have Teresa Weatherspoon as the coach. Two, they've got rid of, like, Kalia Copper. They're young, right? You know, so she's going to get the attempts, the shot volume, because in fact, also, KDF, she does a great job on the boards. So you can also look at Angel Reese points plus rebounds. Now, I went with Cameron Brink opening night myself, and the worry you have with Cameron Brink is foul trouble. She had foul trouble in one of the preseason games, had foul trouble, although it is 6 fouls fouled in WNBA rather than 5 in college. That's going to be a concern. Rakia Jackson, another one, should be some minutes for the Sparks. She's coming off the bench. Can't look to her. Caitlin Clark, you know, we'll talk about. I think there's an intriguing case to look at Caitlin a couple of ways. One, I think we need the three-point props to come out of the Steph Curry range, right? The 5-plus made threes to find a way to plus money, 6-plus. We got to get away from that. I think you also got to look at the actual assist prop. Now, if you look at opening night for Caitlin Clark, you know, obviously she turned the ball over a ton, right? 10 turnovers. But remember, folks, her usage rate is the same that it was in college, like 43%. That means shot, turnover, something. 43% of the time is with Caitlin Clark. So she's going to have the ball in her hands. Can she value possessions? And can they get that pick and roll going? Aaliyah Boston, only 6 shots opening night. Those two, and I saw you came up with, I think, under points and rebounds with Aaliyah Boston opening night, which was a really
just
smart
points.
Play, right? Just points. But it was a smart play because of Connecticut. I think as that pick and roll game goes together, you start to be looking at Aaliyah Boston over her points with Caitlin Clark over her assists.
Well, I think right now, JY, Nelissa Smith is the scoring big in this front court here. You think about Aaliyah Boston, her prospects, a lot of it also tied to what she can do on the defensive end. They drew a really tough matchup, the Indiana Fever, at Connecticut, right? A team with a lot to prove, a team that has the best defense in the WNBA last year scoring-wise, mm-hmm. and a 1-2 punch in Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner that obviously stepped up on opening night. Now, according to the books here, it gets more difficult in this game playing the New York Liberty. I want to go on the Liberty for a bit. Coach, I am completely out on this team. I think they have no chance to win the title, and it's going to take a world of impressive performances to convince me otherwise. I think you're on this Liberty team, though. So I'll quickly make my few bullet points here, or really my main bullet point. They lost the preseason game by 50. If you come off of a finals loss, and that's the first thing you show me, it tells me you're not locked in. It tells me you're not on a mission and you're resting on your laurels. They didn't come close to covering against the Mystics. It was a huge fourth quarter. They needed just to avoid the double-digit upset, JY. I will not be on this Liberty team this season. I'm not on the number tonight, but if I was, I'd be taking the dog. But you like this Liberty team.
I do, because I figured to turn around the next night to win 82-79 against the Connecticut Sun team, which, listen, let's be honest, they didn't play big minutes, any of the starters for either team, but I do believe in this Liberty team, because I'll tell you this much, K-Dub, pressure's on this team to win this year. Now, I think what the Liberty did is they struggled defensively, and I think that's where they tried to kind of go in the WNBA draft and kind of get athletic guards to defend. So when you look at tonight, right, and you look at Caitlin Clark, I think the play is the assists. I think I saw on FanDuel a little while ago, 6-plus assists was at a plus 102. I think this is someone that can get loose versus Vandersloot, who can get loose versus Inescu. That could be the play for me is Caitlin Clark, 6-plus assists, plus money. Now, in regards to the Liberty, I compare the Liberty, ready, folks, to the Celtics. It ain't going to matter what they do the entire – they can win every game in the WNBA. It is when they get to the finals, if they get there, folks, versus obviously Vegas. Remember, folks, and I'm a Liberty. I like the Liberty. Love them. They beat the Liberty last year without Candace Parker. So don't sell me Candace Parker is gone and all of a sudden the Liberty is so much better. This is about the Liberty performing in a big spot, and this is about how we talk about Jason Tatum. We need to talk about Breanna Stewart, and I love Stewie, but she didn't look good opening night, only getting 8 points, 8 rebounds. But this is also a Breanna Stewart. The last time you saw her play regular in the playoffs last year, went 3-for-17 in an elimination game. Yikes! She's got to be better, Kidub, a lot better in big spots.
Yeah, that's also the most slanderous thing anyone has said about Breanna Stewart, maybe I've ever heard. You just compared her to Jason Tatum. She's a two-time champion, two-time finals MVP, mm-hmm. two-time league MVP.
And
now, there's a lot of people in
Go ahead.
There's a lot of people in Boston who think Tatum's already done those things. He's done zero of them.
Well, I agree.
So that was some Breanna Stewart slander.
And listen, this gets back to my buddy Kevin Lynch that runs the Philly Rise. He's going to be happy with me. So I'm sorry, Kevin. I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm talking about big spot in the finals. I needed an elimination game. When you're down two games to one, I need a huge performance. You can't go out on a 3-for-17. That's my point. But you're right. Should I be comparing Breanna Stewart to Jason Tatum? Absolutely not. But we have seen Jason Tatum also, folks, in big spots, in elimination games, come up a little bit small.
Wow. You're standing by it. Two-time finals MVP, Breanna Stewart, Jason Tatum, one and the same. Some Stewie erasure, folks. It's tough. Let me just give people the Clark breakdown again on the rebounds prop here, because this is where I truly believe the value is. You take a look at her freshman season at Iowa, 5.9 boards per game, 7-plus the rest of the way. She actually averaged 8 rebounds a night in her sophomore season, and that's what we were seeing in the preseason, right? Again, I know it's a super small sample size, but if you take the two games that she played in the preseason on a per-32-minute basis, It was 5.9 rebounds per 32 minutes. And we're getting the rebounds prop for four at plus 120. And we're getting six rebounds. By the way, she had an eight-rebound game in the preseason at plus 430. So I'm going to climb the rebound ladder here tonight with Caitlin Clark in the home debut. Don't be surprised if she makes six threes. I'm just not sure there's a ton of value on that number. We go to the NBA next, live with you right here. Coach James Young sticking around on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, SportsGrid. It's Game Time Decisions. We go to the association as we've got Minnesota-Denver. And the Minnesota Timberwolves started out winning six in a row. They've now lost three straight. And all faith is gone. Nobody believes in Minnesota. Nobody thinks they can win this game. That's according to my ears. You go to the FanDuel, percentage of spread bets, Denver 77%. Percentage of money 73%, all on Denver. And a lot of that might be coaches. JY, you love these Nuggets here tonight. Tell me why.
I just think, listen, I don't like Draymond Green. I feel like I hate his guts. But he made a good point when he watched Cat walk off the floor, limping and hobbling like he can't walk after he played a ton of minutes. I feel like Minnesota got their soul snatched, and I think the what Michael Malone did, doubling Anthony Edwards as much as he did to get the ball out of Ant's hands and made other people beat him was a brilliant move. We'll see what Coach Finch has up his sleeve tonight. The other thing that I saw is, I honestly saw, I don't know if he was disinterested. I don't know if it was the defense. But Kevin, you got to admit, there's been a completely different Joker since game two. And he has absolutely went to town on Rudy Gobert. Now, you can look at Rudy Gobert has done better defensively early on. Last game, 8 of 9. And I'm a post coach. The moves he was putting on Rudy, what do you call it, Kevin? Put him in a blender? Put him in a spin cycle? Whatever he did, he wanted to do it. And I think what you're going to see tonight is this. You're going to see Joker start to go off early. You're going to see Finch bench Rudy, go to Naz Reid, and bring double teams. And literally look at them and say, anybody but Joker. He can't get 34. He can't get 40. He's got to get 25 or less. We're going to make Joker do it other ways. And that lines up a Joker triple-double as other guys make shots tonight.
So I think that would be a disaster. And if that's their game plan, then I agree. Denver's going to win by roughly a billion. Nikola Jokic averaged 4.3 assists per game against the Timberwolves from the regular season. He's averaging 9.2 a game in this series. Listen, I know sometimes things become like too popular and becomes too easy, but what UConn did against Purdue, here, Edie, you can score 35. It doesn't matter. But the problem with the situation right now in Denver, Gobert is getting cooked one-on-one. Of course he is. Have you ever seen Nikola Jokic play? Send Rudy on the double and let Cat guard him. Cat's not going to double as effectively. He's not as smart of a defender. He's not as long of a defender. He's not as good of a defender. But if you're dead to rights one-on-one against Jokic, then stop putting Rudy on an island. Teams have been doing that. This is what Utah did. Stop putting people on an island against Jokic. The Lakers did it with Anthony Davis. How'd that go? Badly. It doesn't work. You can't guard him one-on-one. He is an all-time great offensive player. So, I mean, listen, if they say here's 15 assists for Nikola Jokic, this is going to get real ugly. Very, very ugly. But I guess we will see. What do you think of props-wise here tonight, Coach?
Well, I think he's getting the assist, so I'm going pretty good. I'm Joker to go over his assist prop tonight because I do think he's going to try and say, we can't let him. Here's the thing, Kevin, you make a good point. You can just say, go get 50. The difference between Edie and Joker is Joker can do it at the low post, at the pinch, at the top of the key. It's wherever he wants to go. So to me, I think you can't say he gets 40 or he gets 9 assists. Pick your poison. I think he gets the 9 assists tonight because I think they're in a limited scoring and say, I want someone else to beat me. I like the Joker to go over his assist prop tonight, over 9 of his last 15, 9 out of 17, so roughly 50% versus the Timberwolves. I think Finch is going to panic. And if you want to correlate, if you say, you know, if there's a double team coming, who could be the guy to get shots? To me, it actually could be Michael Porter Jr., because that's the guy I'm going to leave alone. So Michael Porter Jr. over 13.5 at plus money right now is something that I would be taking a look at. And how about just, I'm not Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon. And then Aaron Gordon just to make a 3, minus 130. Okay. So.
Thank God. Okay, thank God. All right, we all say the wrong name.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. But I just did have a mini panic attack that you just told me the plan was to leave Porter Jr. alone.
No, my bad. Leaving Aaron... That's my fault. I was too excited. Aaron Gordon,
can I tell you this?
Leave him alone. Make a 3.
I have a Porter Jr. 13.5 points. Coach, if you could send that game plan in, though, I mean, I'd be all about it. I'd be all about it. MPJ just leave. Here's the thing, man. MPJ shoots it whether he's alone or not. So if you actually leave him alone, those shots are going up. I want to ask you about Donovan Mitchell after this break. So let me just quickly state of the West right now. Do you feel that Denver's already now had their toughest challenge and Dallas or Oklahoma City would be drawing dead in a conference finals?
If it's Dallas, they're going to be in for it because they just got to find a way to get, I don't know what's up with Kyrie. I don't know if he's just like settling, but to me, what I was impressive about Dallas last night is down 8-2 early. Instead of Luka just taking the game over, create. Here's a quarter three for Jones. Create. Here's a wing three for Jones. They got Jones going a little bit. I think they could pose some problems because if Kyrie's right and Luka's going, those are two guys that are going to be hard to stop. I think Dallas could actually give them a series.
What is next for Donovan Mitchell? Would the Knicks ever want him after they used to want him? We'll answer that on the other side. Uh-oh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, before we let Coach James Young get out of here, we did see the finishing off of the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was quite unceremonious. No Donovan Mitchell, no Jared Allen. And the Cleveland Cavaliers offseason is set up to be one of the most interesting of all time. I know this, again, being self-aware, I try and do it to the best of my ability. I love all the rumors. I love all the scenarios. I buy in a little. Every draft night, it doesn't matter the sport. I'm like, man, there's going to be 14 trades, right? Shout out Peter Schrager, all those trades he told me were coming. Those did not come. That's fine. But the Cavs have 3 different stars on the block, and they might fire their coach. Something is happening this offseason in Cleveland, if not a bunch of things. So, Coach, I'm curious. The big one is Donovan Mitchell. Do you believe he is going to exit the Cavaliers organization this offseason?
Yes. I think he's gone. I think he's gone. And he's going to try and do it as gracefully as possible. I don't know how. And there will be teams that will line up. Obviously, there's talk about the Lakers lining up. Obviously, there's talk about maybe Miami. Brooklyn would be a good destination because of the fact that he wants to return home. I don't see the Knicks fit. I know people want that with Brunson. I don't see the fit because I've been on his network. And Kevin, you know I've said this. I told people from the day this trade happened, two small scoring guards don't work together in the NBA. So if Garland and Donovan Mitchell aren't going to work, what makes people think that Brunson and Donovan Mitchell are going to work? I think Donovan Mitchell is gone, but if he is gone or he does stay, that sets up Darius Garland to come back. By the way, shout out Darius Garland. Talk about going out on your sword. 4 for 17. Like what? 1 for 8 in the second half. And you guys were in the game going into the second half, and you lay an egg. I think he's gone, and I'll say this right now, and I know we'll get to this in a second, but I'm just going to bring it up anyway. Those players quit on J.B. Bickerstaff. To have Jared Allen not only miss the entire series, but miss a game 7 in which all you got to do supposedly is take a shot and put like a flak jacket on to protect your rib, he didn't want to play. Donovan Mitchell, last 2 games. I'm all right. I'm good. I don't want to play. You know, you look at Caris LeVert. He didn't want to play. People are sitting there trashing Tibbs that he plays his guys too much. Those guys, I mean, Julius Randle got surgery 4 months ago, and he tried to play through it for his coach. I've seen kids and people go south on coaches. I've been on a staff that happened like this. Those guys went south on J.B. Bickerstaff. As soon as that series went 2-1, it was a wrap. They were done.
I think what's odd about that, though, is why would that be the case? 2-1 going into game 4, that series was not over by any stretch of the imagination. Donovan Mitchell was on an absolute heater. If Donovan wanted to quit, he could have easily quit in the first round and got the whole thing done with. And I think Jared Allen, you know, players turning on him, right? I think that's an ugly look. I think if anything, it just tells me Jared Allen's going to go. But I also think if we believe that these guys didn't play because they quit on Bickerstaff, then moving on from Bickerstaff is probably your only option.
Oh, he's gone.
Unless all the key guys are gone other than Mobley. Mobley's going nowhere.
No.
Mobley's going nowhere. But Garland's on the block. Mm-hmm. Allen's on the block. And Mitchell decides his own fate. Realistically, if you're Cleveland, you could reset this entire roster this offseason very easily, remain competitive, and have an outlook for the future. And if I'm the Cavs, I'm okay with doing that, assuming two things. You get a fair value for Donovan Mitchell, and LeBron tells you he's not coming. But if you can check those two boxes, then that's what you do. And Coach, right now, do you have a favorite landing spot for Donovan Mitchell?
I got a feeling he's going to end up in Lakers. I feel like he's going to Lakers. Wow. Lakers are getting someone. I think he's getting someone. And here's the thing. Wait a minute. You got to fire J.B. Bickerstaff. You tanked. And this should all be fired. You tanked the 2 or 3 seed to get the 4 to play Boston? This should all be fired. I'm running the team. Kate, I'm the coach. Sammy, you're now the assistant. Game over. See you tomorrow. Only on Sports
NHL Playoffs next.